Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Wilmington Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, and welcome back to Wilmington Business Radio. This is Anne Ravel-Petcher, your host, in the studio today with my producer, Kirsten Kalski.
Hello.
Hello, Kirsten. Hey, we have a really fun show today. We get to talk about being fit and then going and hanging out and eating a ton and then figuring out how to get the word out about what you do so well. So I'm really excited to have in the studio with me today Rob Shapiro from Sweet and Savory. Hello, Rob.
How are you doing?
I'm just doing dandy. I also have in the studio Tom Shavala.
Howdy.
Hi.
Good to see you.
Tom has a company called Social Vanguard Media. We're going to be talking to him in just a couple minutes. We're going to start our little show today with Sarah Barbie, who has a new company called Sock It To Me Training.
Yes, Sock It To Me Training. Ask me how to look good naked.
Wow. how do you look? Well, not how do you look good naked. No. Let me try to rephrase that for a minute. How would one go about looking good naked?
I believe it's all about self-confidence. It has so much more to do with how you feel about yourself and what you're capable of and what you've proven to yourself you can do. And so that's what I work on with everyone I train.
Wow, that's really cool. That's not a typical approach for it. I've had a lot of trainers in my life, and as you can tell, I still need one. So what is different about what you do?
Well, two things are different. I think my approach to it, I myself lost 40 pounds a few years ago, and so I know that we all want to go have a glass of wine and a burger and go to places like Sweet and Savory, but you got to do a little work alongside that. So
it's the only way to have a burger, right, is
really,
if you know that you've already worked out.
Right, exactly. But so I like to help my clients find the balance there and really get them motivated. And then my other thing that's unique is I actually go to my client. I don't have a studio. I don't work out of a gym anywhere. I actually visit my clients in their home. I trained a client on the Riverwalk this morning. I'll be at the beach tomorrow morning.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
It's a little bit of everything.
That's really cool. So cardio and strength training?
Cardio and strength training. But I focus on self-body weight training for the most part, minimal equipment. Prevents injury, lets your body get that natural tone shape that's normal to it, not necessarily bulking up, which with the majority of my clients is not something they're looking for.
Right.
So it's much more comfortable for people, too, if they're not trying to figure out how to use some contraption or some heavy kettlebell.
Right. Although kettlebells are pretty cool.
They're pretty cool.
They're
pretty cool. But I like little small hand weights and weighted balls and things like that, like medicine balls.
Tell me about your typical client.
So my typical client is female, 40s to mid-50s, someone who maybe is looking to take on a new goal or just in general stay fit and active. People who have very active lifestyles are trying to fit this in along with that as far as their business, keeping them busy, families,
right.
Jobs. You know, we, of course, are all working longer and not retiring.
Right.
And most of them are just looking not necessarily for immediate results, but for a definite change in their fitness and maybe even their mobility. Some of them have had injuries.
Ah, yeah. So mostly women. That's pretty cool.
Mostly women. It is pretty cool.
Because I think historically, haven't trainers really targeted guys?
I think a lot of trainers do. And I think even, you know, a woman training with a male trainer, you know, is still going to feel a little intimidated and all of that. So I tend to just bring in the girls a little more. I do have two guys that train with me. They don't like me very much at the end of the session, I have found.
Because women actually do work harder than men,
we
right?
Really, we don't
we
complain
really do.
As much.
Well, it depends on what we're complaining about.
Yeah. So
seldom about the workout. So how is working with a personal trainer different than, you know, getting up and making yourself go to the gym every day?
You can do that. You're going to be maybe in a fixed set of exercises. They're not going to change much. You know, you may be actually doing something that's not helping you lose weight as well as something else could. And a trainer has done that education, is able to identify areas in your body that are weaker, listen to your feedback on a weekly, daily basis, and adjust your workout accordingly.
Yeah.
So instead of it being we just give you a bunch of workouts, it's every day that we see you is something different. And I can modify a workout the second I walk into a client's home.
Now, do you need to work with somebody every single day?
Not really. Most of my clients, it's about two times a week. Okay. I have a few I do three times a week. And some who are a little more self-motivated see me once a week and then take the workouts that I give them and carry it on themselves.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty cool. So is pricing similar to this, to gym trainer pricing?
My pricing, actually, I think, is most people say is a little more reasonable. I try to say where more people are available, half hour with me is just $35. Uh-huh. And then, of course, I offer discounts with packages and everything else. So I look at what the person needs most. Do they need to see me consistently, you know, three times a week? Let's look at a better deal for that. Or if it's going to be every 2 days and, you know, flexible, especially this time of year for family vacations.
Yeah, absolutely. So you talked a little bit earlier about injuries, people coming to you with injuries. And
I have my own right now.
People are nervous if they have a health problem or if they have an injury about working out because they know they have to do it, and yet they're afraid, you know, what if this exacerbates what I'm doing, or if, you know, I have a heart problem, is it going to make it worse? Or how do you work with people who have had injuries or illnesses?
You do have to be more careful. I definitely prefer people who have an illness or injury that we work out in their home. Mm-hmm. We're more accessible typically to fire EMS, except when I train at Wrightsville Beach Park, because they're right there. but that is something I do can keep in my back of my mind. I have one client, love her to death. She's been one of my first, and she actually went through 2 shattered ankles, had healed one, had a car accident, shattered the other, came back, trained with me, walked her first 5K, and is training now to start running.
Wow.
And in the middle of all of that, though, had to stop because her house caught on fire.
Oh, geez.
And she had smoke. She had just gotten over pneumonia and then had smoke. So I would come to her house some days and just go, okay, we're just going for a walk. We're just going to walk down to the waterfront and sit for a little bit because that's what she needed.
Yeah, she needs somebody to get her out of the house.
Just get out of that house because she's in the house where the smoke and the fire was, and it's a beautiful old home. But, you know, you do have to kind of monitor that. And I have another client keeps an EpiPen on hand, and sometimes it's in my pocket. And it's just being mindful. I'm CPR trained and certified first aid. I can use a defibrillator if I need to, but we try to modify so I'm not putting someone in that zone of they're going to have a heart attack. You know that they have a limit.
Yeah.
And you don't ever push past it.
Right, right. I think that's one of the things that some of the gyms and some of the classes are like, go, go, go. And you feel like, you know, I probably really shouldn't, so stop it.
Right. Yeah, I only have one client I'm allowed to yell at. Oh. They actually ask for it.
Okay. I won't ask you. We'll know way too much about this person. So you don't need to be at any particular fitness level.
No, you really don't.
You could already be running triathlons and still benefit from
that. That would be excellent because a lot of triathletes actually don't cross train enough.
Ah, oh, that's interesting.
So they think that they're biking and cycling and running is cross-training for the others, but they're not working the lazy butt muscles. They're not working the lower back to keep it so they're not tired during the race. There's a lot of things they can be doing.
Very interesting. How do you deal with dietary questions?
Dietary questions, I send people to other resources. North Carolina is very strict about giving actual – I can give recommendations, but actual dietitian information. And then I do work with a business partner on a lifestyle challenge that we just launched a few weeks ago. We're in week 3 coming up. They'll be starting on their fitness week, but they've done a detox to get all the processed foods and toxins out, and then they've been focusing on really healthy, nutritious foods this week.
Wow, cool.
So we're launching that every quarter, and it's just our, you know, we don't make really any money from it, if at all, and we do it just to make Wilmington healthier.
That's very cool. So how would people find out about that?
That website is 5forlife.us. And we have a Facebook page as well, and people can follow along. We've had people posting on there already about their success. I mean, 2.5 weeks in, and we've got people down 6 pounds.
Wow. That's pretty cool. That's great. So ultimately, you know, what's the big goal? Is it for a client to learn to do this entirely on their own, or do you want them to continue to work out with you for the rest of their life?
Yeah, I'd love that. Gosh, wouldn't everyone want their clients to be lifetime? No, I think ideally you want to get them to a place where they're at a good fitness level, and then you're just helping them maintain it.
Yeah.
Or they even learn the motivation on their own. So that's just it. Again, it's something that is personalized. That's why we call it personal training.
Yeah.
We look at each client, you know. One client walked to 5K and then wanted to run. So sometimes you grow on the new goal.
Sure.
But goals don't have to be really big. They can just be, I'd like to just not be out of breath when I walk up my front stairs.
Yeah.
So
there's a new push. There's always a new push in fitness, right? There's always a new trend, a new this, a new that. One of the things that's most interesting to me these days is the multiple bursts of shorter intensity. So you do 10 or 15 minutes of a multi-intensity workout and then maybe do it again later in the day instead of trying to do your hour all at one time.
Absolutely.
Have you read much about this? What do you
know
about
it? I do a lot with it. High intensity interval training. So there's two ways to look at it. Is you do these really intense workouts, just wear yourself out, do them 2 times a day and you've gotten your hour, or make sure that you're getting some kind of relaxed cardio in later, a walk after dinner, that sort of thing, and do a really intense where you're doing a cardio workout, an intense weight, a cardio, an intense weight, and do that for 30 to 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You see it a lot at gyms, and people don't know what it means. It's HIIT with two I's. And that high-intensity interval training is just amazing. The results are phenomenal. And I combine a lot of it from – I have some Pilates certifications and some websites that I really like called HIIT Lotties.
Huh.
So we're doing these cardio moves that are focusing on your core. So
that's
they really
cool.
slim you down really
that's
fast,
really cool.
and you see some real results.
That's really cool. So your sessions are generally, you said, half an hour long?
Most of the time, half an hour. That gives people just enough time to get in. They get their intense workout in and move on with their day.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of early AM clients.
That's so. Very cool. That's great. Well, good. So if somebody's looking forward to getting some change done in their lives and their body.
And on their own schedule.
And on their own schedule. How do they find you?
They can go to SuckItToMeTraining.com or they can check me out on pretty much most social media, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr.
And you have links to all of those social media.
I do.
On your website.
I do.
Excellent. Cool.
I just had a quick question on your clients on diet.
Yes.
It's when they're doing the high intensity training, I know from my personal experience.
This is Rob Shapiro, by the way, speaking.
I tend to want to eat healthier.
Yes.
If I do kind of just easy cardio, I still eat garbage. When I do the high intensity workouts, I mean, I did a hard swim workout today and I come home, what I want, I wanted protein,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted fruit.
Yes.
It's kind of like
lean protein and fiber, which is what the choosemyplate.gov, of course, tells you to eat.
And I said, it's anything that sounded junky didn't even sound good to me after
really?
A hard workout. So.
Yeah.
And that's typically what I find after if I really get my heart rate up and get the endorphins going and everything else, I don't want junk food anymore.
That's definitely the clients that have that work that do more intense workouts, they see they don't want that, and they also keep moving their time up. I've gone from clients having a 10 o'clock to a 9 o'clock to an 8 o'clock, an 8 o'clock to a 7 o'clock. And so they keep wanting an earlier and earlier time because they're like, I just want to get up and get going. And I'm like, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. That is great. That's great. Thank you. Well, so Rob, tell us, you know, how a gym rat like you owns Sweet and Savory. I think of Sweet and Savory and I think sweet mostly. Tell us about that. How'd you get involved?
I guess I think more savory, but it's I worked in corporate America for about 13 years.
Ah, what'd you do?
I worked for Alcoa in a variety of positions.
Wow, cool.
That's
corporate.
Manufacturing superintendent, operations manager, things like that. And I felt I was selling my soul to corporate America.
Mm-hmm.
So about, 12 years ago, I gave all that up. Dove into the pool head first, hoping there'd be enough water.
How long has Sweet and Savory been around?
Sweet and Savory's been around for 22 years.
Wow. And you acquired it in 2004?
Yeah, so about 10 and a half years ago. So.
Yeah. Wow, that's a long time. So it's like a cornerstone of the Wilmington food scene.
It has been here a long time, so.
So tell us about the food you have on the menu.
We're open every single day of the year, Thanksgiving, Christmas, everything. Sweet and Savory does breakfast, lunch, dinner. What a lot of people don't know is dinner sales actually outsell breakfast, almost breakfast and lunch put together.
Is that right?
They definitely outsell lunch. I mean, it opened up as traditionally a lunch place, but dinner sales almost equal breakfast and lunch. And that's actually my favorite meal to work in there.
Yeah, that's really cool. Oh. So recently I was taking a sup lesson, and the guy I was taking a lesson with said, hey, have you been over to the pub yet? And I went, no. I would like to go to the pub at mm-hmm. some point, but I keep driving by it. Is it essentially exactly the same as Sweet and Savory, but it's facing a different road?
It's actually very different because they're right back to each other.
Back to
each other. When the Keffy building became available, it was too good of an opportunity.
It is a pretty cool space, right?
Yeah, it's definitely a cool space. But a lot of the struggle has been over there is overcoming the thought that it's a bar. And it has a nice bar. It's still a good place to go hang out in. But after going through about four or five menu changes, we finally landed on what all of us believe is the right mix. It matches the name. It matches really what the atmosphere is in the place.
So it's fish and chips?
No. Nah.
It's not really a pub?
No, it's not designed to be an English pub. It's designed to be a public house, a great place to meet friends, hang out, mm-hmm. have a good time, and enjoy yourself.
So what is the menu like?
It's basically simple food done as well as you can.
It's bar food.
I wouldn't even go that far.
No.
I'd say the center of it's really the best burger you're ever going to eat.
Really?
We converted one.
Oh,
of
I'd
our,
like to take that challenge.
I would love to. I gave you one of these free burger certificates.
Those of you who are listening right now, I mean, like live right now, not like in a week when you download the podcast, but if you are listening live right now, we actually have a couple few free burgers here. If you tweet in to at BRXILM. The first five people who tweet at us will get a free pub burger. So how about that?
The burger, we actually converted one of our walk-in coolers into a grinding room. So we're actually grinding all the beef at about 35 degrees. And we're doing it from short rib, brisket, chuck, beef tenderloin, and ribeye. All on fresh meat.
Really? So it's not just the toppings that are great.
No.
The actual burger's good.
We said if we're going to do simple food, we want to do it as well as we possibly can. And the pub name to me says the food's going to be simple. But it's the pub really by sweet and savory, so it says we're going to actually do it really well.
Yeah.
So you get that. You get in a choice of five or six types of fresh baked bread or lettuce wrapped. Or the way I usually get the burgers, I just get it on a plate. I eat it with a knife and fork.
Yeah, me too.
I love bread.
As long as you cover it in mushrooms, can you do that?
I said, while I love bread, I only let myself eat it once or twice a month. I'm talking to the trainer here across the way. She's nodding her head. So
yeah, I have the gluten allergy, so I'm like, yay, lettuce wrap.
We also have a gluten-free bun that you can get it on too. So,
nice.
So
what do you got besides burgers? Burgers and beer.
At the pub? Yeah. I mean, we have an in-house three bean veggie patty that we do ourselves because we wanted to make a vegetarian option that was as well thought of and as well planned out as the burger.
Yeah, cool.
It's not vegan. It does have some egg in it to bind it together. But that actually patty is gluten-free.
Oh, nice.
It's kind of made with rice flour instead of regular flour.
Oh, neat.
Fresh grilled chicken sandwiches or blackened. Or if you feel unhealthy, you can get the beer battered chicken sandwich, which is really good, but really bad for you. But sometimes you want to spoil yourself.
Sure.
You also have malts and milkshakes.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Fresh cut fries. Or for the healthy side, you get salads or fruit. Or you get a grilled, blackened, or beer battered grouper sandwich. And the grouper is of nice quality. Sometimes I'll get that just on a plate, eat it by itself.
Yeah. So tell us about the cocktails. Is this a beer bar? Is this a cocktail creation kind of bar? What kind of bar is this?
It's the pub. It's got 32 beers on tap.
Ah.
A lot of craft brews.
Excellent.
And at least what we consider to have is probably the best pricing in town.
Neat.
We try to target our prices to be on a 50 to 75 cents lower than everybody else for the same products.
Great. That's fabulous.
Yeah, and we also have a full section of liquors and okay selection of wine. Sweet and Savory really has the big wine list with over 400 wines on it.
Yeah. So tell me about the bakery side of the Sweet and Savory.
The bakery side, that was really the original cornerstone of the business.
Yeah.
And it's really there as in where it's really evolved to is it's to support and really help add to the atmosphere of the place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we do all the fresh bake. We do all the bread fresh baked in house. We don't buy any frozen doughs. We start with flour, water, salt, yeast, no preservative in anything. Bread lasts maybe a day or two.
Yeah.
And then it goes stale in malts.
Yeah.
I can buy store-bought bread, leave it on my counter for 3 weeks and it still seems fresh. And to me that says, I got to be putting some chemicals or something in my
something
body.
Something nasty,
probably
right?
Healthy to me. And again, all the sweets, just try to use the freshest, best ingredients
sure.
as we do it all. Just kind of anything in moderation is always good, can always be good. So.
Well, speaking of anything in moderation, you know, I'll have a beer when it's really hot, but I'm a wine girl. I hear you guys have wine tastings.
We do have free wine tasting every Wednesday from 5 to 6:30.
Nice.
We do 6 to 8 wines a week.
Kirsten, that's well. It'll be next Wednesday, 5 to 6:30.
And next Wednesday is a special one. We're doing actually Burgundies. If you like Burgundies.
I love Burgundies.
We're doing some very nice, very high-end ones. And so I think the last one's about an $85 bottle of Premier Cru. And we don't charge for them.
Wow. Holy smokes. That's so cool.
We have a huge wine selection. We charge what I consider very fair pricing every day.
Yeah.
So something that would be considered comparable to a wine shop.
But you don't sell wine to take out?
Yes, we do.
Oh, you do?
I mean, you can buy it to go.
Yeah.
And we also run a $5 off bottle special on Sunday and Wednesday.
Okay.
That'll actually make us around, I'll say Costco pricing on those days. So.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, that's really interesting. What I really want to learn now is how you get the word out about your business.
It's every way possible. So,
like coming on the radio.
Yeah, exactly.
You do a lot of social media?
I have Tom right here do my social media work for me.
Well, Tom, why don't you tell us a little bit about the social media work you do?
Well, for Rob, I chose four platforms that are very good for this area: Twitter, Facebook, Google+, and LinkedIn.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people don't take advantage of their LinkedIn company profiles.
Yeah.
It's hard to grow your followers on there, but that's where the advertising comes in. But those people, they have jobs, they have money, and typically, they can't get on Facebook, so they want to know what's going on, so they go to their LinkedIn page. So I make sure that all his specials are updated every day, so that way you can see it on the
on
website
LinkedIn.
Or go to the social
That's
feeds.
That's great.
Yep, and you can see what the Blackboard specials are for mm-hmm. the Sweet and Savory for lunch or dinner. Or
yeah. I know a lot of restaurants do that on Facebook, but I've given up on Facebook. And so it's nice to know that something professional, there's a professional angle to this too.
Well, a lot of people can do it for themselves. I mean, it's not the hardest thing in
That's
the world,
true.
But it's when they change the logarithm. So recently, Facebook changed the logarithm from pictures being, you know, the best thing to put out there or video. And now it's text. They switched it back to text. So
yeah.
if you put in a text, you might, you know, with Sweet and Savory, we have 2,700 followers. And with a photo, we get 40 to 50 people seeing it. When we do the text, we get anywhere from 350 to 400 people seeing it without even boosting it with advertising.
Mm.
So, you know, you just got to stay on it, see what the numbers are doing, and check your analytics, which
right.
is very useful.
Yeah, yeah.
Not only for the website, but for your social feeds. And that's
right.
where the tricky part comes in, where professional makes it a lot easier. So you can focus on what you do well so that you can, you know, make your goals, make your achievements, and let the social media person focus on what he does well. So.
How tricky is becoming a let's just pick one, Google Analytics expert?
Well, it depends on how much you want to learn. Google Analytics is very easy to set up and implement into your website. A lot of websites have the ability to just add the code here and there you go. But there's basic classical Google Analytics, but now they have a universal analytics, which allows you to take that Google Analytics code, put it onto your website, put it onto a mobile phone application, put it onto a POS system.
Oh, cool.
So if you're a restaurant, you can track all your costs and it just gets downloaded. Or if you're at a building that has a directory, you could put it on there and you can track everything. Also, with Google Universal, they have the ability to track age and gender. And there's other tracking capabilities coming out, but it's anonymized. They don't want to know who you are. We don't care about that. We just want general statistics to help us figure out where to target the advertising better so that, you know, we're using it most effectively. But Google Analytics, from there's so many other aspects. You can do reports on where's the traffic coming from. We had this one traffic report coming from China, and we were getting spammed, and we were getting anywhere from 400 to 600 hits a month that were useless. So I had to track down where they were coming from and how to stop this tracking from coming in. So Google Analytics could be useful for that, or you can figure out somewhat the Google search terms that they're using, but Google has encrypted all their search, and now you can't see it. That was mostly from they were doing this before the NSA leaks, but they stepped it up, and now no one knows what the search terms are. So if you do Google AdWords, where you pay to play, you can put in a bunch of keywords, and then you can see how often they're being in the searches, and
mm-hmm.
then how many times they're getting clicked.
Right.
So that can help you wean down your search terms. But there's also a lot of keyword researches that you can do out there. And I'm getting off topic from Google Analytics, but there's a lot that you can do.
Yeah, so obviously having a professional who understands can really, really, really help you. But if somebody's sitting out there saying, you know, I'm not sure if I can afford a full-time professional dealing with my analytics on my website, are there a couple tips and tricks tips and tricks that they can apply right now that'll help their analytics?
Well, search engine optimization is what you're referring to, SEO. So one of the best things that you can do right now is get onto your social platforms. Set up your Facebook, set up your Twitter, set up your LinkedIn, set up Pinterest, Tumblr, all the ones that you can. Even if you don't regularly engage with them, use them, because that can just be another way a person finds you. But the more you interact with your social platforms, the more the search bots see this. Now, there's also other aspects to social platforms. You have the ability to like a Facebook business page and follow it. But you also have the ability to put it on your website to say, I like this web page through Facebook. And the search bots see this. You can also do that with Google+. So you start to get this interactivity, and the more that you do with your social platforms, the more likely that you're going to have more traffic.
Gotcha.
I've seen, since I started with Rob 2 years ago, taking his traffic up by 25%. And this year is actually becoming one of the best years for the website. And with the pub, it's starting to, you know, get hits off the hook. It's really starting to explode. A lot of people are getting the word of mouth. We're doing advertising through Facebook and AdWords, YouTube advertising.
Can you tell us most of your hits are coming from a mobile device or from...
Yeah, you can with Google Analytics, actually. You can tell if it's coming from an iPhone, a tablet, a Galaxy, you know, Samsung, you know, Galaxy 5, 4, whatever. It breaks it down. So you can see it through the Google Analytics.
Not that I actually care which phone somebody's looking at me from. I just want to know if it's mobile or if it's desktop.
Actually, knowing what phone a person uses can be useful, because there's basically three map systems out there. You have Bing, who uses that. Google, a lot of people use that. And then you have iPhone or Apple's version. But a lot of times people are using a smartphone. It's an iPhone. That's about 80% of the traffic comes in from iPhone or Apple tablets. And they use their own mapping system. But a lot of times people then go use the Google Maps even on there, because it's more comprehensive and has a lot more on it. So you want to make sure that you're hitting all these platforms to make your maps work. So sometimes, though, you might see traffic coming in from iPhones. Maybe you're going to want to resize your screens for your responsive side for the mobile site to that size. Or maybe you're going to set up a responsive size for that and a tablet size. But a lot of the content management systems that I use, like WordPress, do this automatically for you. So in the past, you used to have to code each one differently. And with the proliferation of different size devices and operating systems, it's just gotten easier to make it, you know, a one-size-fits-all type content management system.
And so regionally, we're heavier on iPhones, you're saying, or Apple platform.
That's national. It's Android is starting to make inroads. Windows-based phones, I would say, is maybe 1%, if that. But the 19 to 20% is usually the Android devices. But they're starting to become more and more prevalent.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, I've read a lot of different things about Android starting to even knock out the iPhone. I was just curious if locally you're saying the same thing in terms of the people, say, for instance, who...
Well, I can say for the multiple websites that I look at and control that, yes, iPhones are the majority
the
devices that are used.
So when people work with you, what kind of budgets do they need to set aside just for social media?
Well, there's two. There's the advertising costs, and then there's the free advertising costs, where I can do a lot for you, say, through Encore Pub or other local magazines. If you have local events, I can get them out there, you know, and it's just my time, but not an actual advertising cost. But I recommend to clients that they have anywhere from $300 to $1,500 a month just for advertising, depending on how big a scope it is. If you're doing national, you need more money. If it's local, you can get away with $300, but that might just be just Facebook or just AdWords.
Sure.
And that's good. But sometimes you can go 1 month this, 1 month that. But my costs can vary as well, depending on what the needs are, from anywhere from $50 a month up to, you know, $750 or $1,000 a month. It all depends on my client's needs and what their structures are for their marketing. Right. So.
That's great. That's very helpful. If somebody's looking for a new campaign, how can they get a hold of you?
Well, they can go to my website, socialvanguardmedia.com, and you can fill out one of the forms and get to me that way. I even have some links on there that describe some of the more popular content management systems. And if you wanted to go at your own, by all means, go ahead. But if you get frustrated or you wanted a consult on how to improve your website, I can do that as well. So just reach out to me. I'd be more than happy to help.
Great. Thank you. And we didn't get the contact information for Sweet and Savory. So how does somebody get a hold of Sweet and Savory and tell everybody who's never been there where you are?
We're at 1611 Pavilion Place. Would be Sweet and Savory. The pub's 2012 Eastwood Road, right behind it. If you're going to the beach, it's a place with really nice landscaping on the right. The website is Sweet N with the letter N, savorycafe.com, or Sweet, the letter N, savorypub.com.
Excellent.
And if you search for him on the social feeds, you know, SNS Cafe or SNS Pub, you'll be able to find Rob that way as well.
Cool. All right. Well, we got everybody in order on a Thursday afternoon. We got them working out. We got them eating great food, drinking great libations, and figuring out how to get themselves promoted. It's all covered.
Sounds good.
Thanks, everybody, for joining me today. This was great fun.
Thanks.
Have a great week, everybody.
And until next time, this is Ann Revelle-Petcher signing off for Wilmington Business Radio.